This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Another 5 hour KM to AM on The Fan. Oh yeah, we're going to talk about all the teams and all the things, all the players. Dial 888-808-1019. What else y'all want to talk about? Tariffs? Nah, I'm good on that. Actually, I'm really actually good on that. I mean, but good that you know, got pulled back. But anyway, we got to start with the Yanks. Because I got to knock a couple things down in the Yankee universe, the narratives, the conversations going on. Of course, we're going to talk about the Mets. How about those Metsies? And I can't wait till later in the night when we can get in the weeds on the NFL draft, which is 2 weeks from tomorrow. And come on, Rangers. Help us out. Take another L so the Devils can clinch. I believe in Timo Meyer. I believe in Jesper Bratt. I believe in Nico Hischier. Marky. Anyway, you know the number to dial. The first thing I got to say is beards have nothing to do with anything. I can't grow one. If I could, it wouldn't matter. The Yankees are playing with beards and it does not matter. Devin Williams' beard does not affect him. Whether he was out there freezing with the cold chin in Michigan because the Yankees made him shave and kept the beard policy, or whether he was out there with his pretty well, you know, groomed beard that grew back in from him shaving in February. Devin Williams, the quote-unquote airbender, Devin Williams has to figure it out. 888-808-1019. And the Yankees have to help him figure it out, because they gave up Caleb Durbin and Nestor Cortez for him. And he's their closer right now. And obviously Luke Weaver, Weavy Wonder, Dream Weaver. We know that he's available and we know what he can do. We know what the ferocious jungle cat is. But you need Devin Williams. Devin Williams is freshly back from paternity leave. Congrats to him and his girl on the birth of their child. I'm sure life is immediately changed for him, different for him, right? His child is born and he's got to head out to Pittsburgh, and he did not have a great showing out in Pittsburgh, and then he's got to go to Detroit and it's freezing and they changed the games, and you know, I'm not making excuses for the guy. You know, he's trying to throw the fastball to set up the changeup, to set up the airbender, and they're sitting on it. He's wasting way too many bullets. He's got to attack the strike zone. You can't walk guys. I've seen Devin Williams pitch in Wisconsin. I've seen Devin Williams be fired up. I haven't seen the fire out of him yet, and I'm giving him time, as are the Yankees and Yankee fans. So don't call and say, oh, Devin Williams got one more time. Oh, I'm done with this guy. Make Luke Weaver the closer. It is April 9th. In the future, we won't even be playing baseball on April 9th. 888 888- 808-1019. There are bigger issues than Devin Williams today blowing it and Mark Leiter Jr. having to come in where the commercial break didn't even come back before that ball was popped up and the game was over. The bigger issue, you know, than Devin Williams, who, like, they'll work with him. They'll get him right. And, again, he's coming back from paternity leave. He is tagged as the guy. Like, even before we go into the issues with the Yankees, what do you think he was feeling when maybe he checked his phone or his friends or family checked their phones? And, you know, in his first couple series, literally the second series, he's a New York Yankee. Yankee fans and people are talking about, oh, this guy picked a terrible time to have a kid. Oh, this guy's on paternity leave. He's screwing up the bullpen. This series is on Devin Williams. No, it's not. That series was on Corbin Burns and Zach Gallen and the Yankees not hitting. And how about that, too? Isn't baseball fun? Isn't the roller coaster ride exciting, unpredictable, up and down, winding round and round? It started off with the Yankees being the cheating torpedo bats. It started off with the Yankees are hitting too many home runs. They sweep the Brewers. They're dominant. Go check out the Brewers. They're all right. They're not bums. And when you look at the Yankees this week, watching those games was pathetic. They were so boring. So many strikeouts, again, pop-ups, weak groundouts. And I got this feeling that, like, they were being soft. It's cold in Michigan for the Tigers, too. I don't care that they live there. They have the same conditions to go out there and throw and catch and hit. And the Yankees look like they were feeling sorry for themselves, all bundled up and, you know, little things not getting done that show, like, you're letting the cold get to you, getting picked off a third, you know, going on contact. Like, Ben Rice got picked off a third. Judge going on contact, him giving them an out. Little things, you know, in the infield. Cabrera not making a play. Not knocking Goldie, but there was a play yesterday where Goldie could have turned the double play, but it was cold. So, he dropped the ball with the transfer. I'm looking at the Yankees, and I'm like, these guys got to be more dialed in, more pissed off, more focused, and say, we have to overcome the weather. We'll talk about Rodon tonight. I talked about him a couple nights ago. He cannot overcome his shoelaces coming untied. He is so easily rattled and in his head, and that's not good. It's not good because the Yankees need him not just this year. They need him for the next few years of this window with Judge and Stanton. And boy, do they miss Gerrit Cole. But you know what? Today, Max Fried, the guy that we paid where, man, I mean, that's where we needed to spend the money. Seems like there's a few guys that can hit. I mean, there are obviously some strikeout kings, but there's enough guys that can hit in this lineup. The lineup is deeper. Where the Yankees needed to spend the money was to get another ace. Whether they knew Gerrit Cole potentially was going to go down or not, today you got to see Max Fried. He didn't have the run support he had the first two times out. And when I talk about vibes and energy, there's a bad vibe and energy around Carlos Rodon. When Carlos Rodon takes the ball, I feel like the belief level is 50-50. And depending on what he goes out there and does, that belief level, I don't think it even goes past 50. It just shrinks 40, 30, 20%. When Max Fried goes out there today to be the stopper, when Max Fried goes out there today in the cold weather, but the warmest day was 42 at first pitch or whatever, it was around 45. So Max Fried goes out there today playing against his former high school teammate in Jack Flaherty. He knows that, like, he's got to have everything going. He's got to throw the whole kitchen sink at him, and he did. 11 strikeouts. He didn't walk anybody. This guy took the ball for the New York Yankees and the Yankee universe and said, I am going to dominate. I'm going to do my job. I'm going to do what they pay me for. And the Yankee bats were pissing me off early in the game. But, like, every inning that he continues to put guys away, it's another opportunity for the Yankees to bounce back. Shout out to Goldie. Goldie had a bunch of hits in this series. I remember people crying about the Yankees not signing Christian Walker. I was always on board for Paul Goldschmidt. He's a professional hitter. He's not washed. He's not done. The Yankees are in a good spot with him. But then, you know, you've got this kid, Ben Rice, who played first base for you last year. He's got to be in the lineup, too. He's hitting the ball hard. And boy, did they need that homer that he hit. Boy, did they need that homer that he hit just to break through, just to take the lead, just to give Max Fried a little bit of run support. And then all the Yankee fans could exhale a bit to say, okay, we're not going to just get swept, or we're not going to let this come down. Could you imagine if he doesn't hit that, and you know, Judge doesn't come through, and we do get to the ninth inning, and Devin Williams gives it up, and the Yankees get walked off to be swept with the Tigers rallying? Like, it would be miserable. But you know what? They as much as I say that they're soft in the conditions, and like they need to get their mental toughness together. You can't control the weather, and it's just the beginning of the season, and they change the games, whatever. They do show that they're resilient. They do show that they never say die. They should have swept the Pirates. But now what we've seen in this early on is against the Diamondbacks, against the Pirates, they rallied. They didn't get swept by the Diamondbacks. They also didn't get swept by the Tigers. They have some pride. They have some fight. And that is going to carry them a long way this year. 888-808-1019. If you're out on the Yankees, be out on the Yankees. I don't think Dodgers fans are packing it up on the Dodgers. I think if you look around Major League Baseball, you understand this is a sport with parity. This is a sport that you can't predict. This is a sport that nobody knows where it's going to go. Where we are right now has nothing to do with where we'll be in October. But for the Yankees, so far so good. And for the Mets, so far actually better. Pretty good. I mean, compared to last year, much better. And the Mets today go out against the Marlins, and I was laughing as I was putting together my notes, not trolling the Mets, and that's another thing I got to say. The trolling is done. Everybody back to your corners. The big brother, little stuff, like the big brother, little brother stuff is nonsense. It's to drive up the rivalry and the banter back and forth when we don't have games. We have games now. We have box scores to look at. We have hits and runs and strikeouts and walks and things that we can actually talk about on the Fan. We don't have to talk about attendance. We don't have to talk about who's chanting what in their ballparks. It's nonsense. And honestly, it's childish. It's for kids. But like, the Mets having a win streak, the Mets rallying in Miami behind Pete Alonso, and then bringing those vibes into Queens and winning those games, fighting the elements, finding ways to win, winning games close, the rotation getting it done, the bullpen being solid, it's very good. It's a good sign. It's something that I know Mets fans have probably been waiting for, just to get out of the gates and feel like, okay, we're a good team. And I wouldn't hold today against the Mets, even though they were no hit through five innings. That's baseball as well. The Marlins, as much as people wanted to tell me, yo, it's the Marlins, it's the Marlins. Come on, they're supposed to beat the Marlins. Yes, they are supposed to beat the Marlins. You may not know the players on the Marlins, but they have some young, scrappy, athletic players that are trying to make a name for themselves. They have some young, scrappy, athletic guys that are going out there and competing. They don't look at it as we're the Marlins. Maybe their manager, he's a knucklehead. I don't know some of the decisions and things he was doing. Maybe he's looking at it like, yeah, we're the Marlins. But like, you can't tell me this early in the season that, oh, it doesn't matter that the Mets beat the Blue Jays and beat the Marlins. Of course it does. I listened to Francisco Lindor talk about, you know, culture and morale and how winning brings guys together and how winning, you know, look at him. Look at how he sets the tone leading off. Look at how he sets the tone getting hits, right? Of course today he's the one to break up the no-no. Of course yesterday he's the one to hit, you know, the second deck home run. He's leading by example. He doesn't have the captain title yet, but he's the captain. And Pete Alonso is another one. That's paid Pete. He's a different guy now. Pete Alonso knows, hey, I got the security, and now I just got to go out and do what I do. I got to hit the ball and get on base and drive runs in, and everything else will work itself out. So when you look at the Mets this early on, and okay, they get shut out today. Only two hits. There were no hit through five. So what? That's going to happen. Are you packing it in on them? Or are the Marlins good now? Or the Marlins aren't good now? Tell me which one it is. We don't know. 888-808-1019. I just was joking last night about putting my futures bet on Tyler McGill to win the Cy Young. He gives up six hits today, two runs. And even yesterday, you know, the bullpen shows that, you know, they're not almighty. They have a little bit of a chink in their armor that they can get got with Brazo Bond. And then you see Edwin Diaz give up some runs today. Whatever. It is so early in the season. There are so many more positives than negatives. The records are what they are. We can't read too much into it. I was saying last week, all last week when I was on, We're going to jump on some topics, but let's not jump to conclusions. We're going to react to some things, but let's not overreact to everything. But we can't help it. We can't help it, especially on sports talk radio and on the internet. Already, you know, Devin Williams sucks. Why'd they let him grow his beard? Why'd they change the beard policy? Boo this guy. We want Luke Weaver to be the closer. Already now, Brett Beatty, they're quitting on Brett Beatty, but Carlos Mendoza is not. And that's another thing. Guys like Brett Beatty and even Mark Vientos, they are young players. And the manager knows that. The president of baseball operations knows that. And they decided to give them this opportunity. They're not going to quit on them in April. And the Mets have been able to overcome that. The Mets pitching and other hitters in the lineup have been able to overcome the shortcomings of young players who are figuring it out still. 888-808-1019. You're figuring it out without Luis Torrens. You're figuring it out without Francisco Alvarez. Shout out to the pride of Miami, Ohio, Hayden Singer, getting an opportunity to rock. He's been good enough. I didn't even know who he was in spring training. That's when I found out about him. Shout out to Starling Marte, who in the offseason was supposed to be traded. He's getting an opportunity. He's getting an opportunity to play. Even a guy like Jesse Winker over the weekend wants to be a Met. You know, gets traded here, has a good postseason, comes back. This guy's hitting triples to will you to win. So I just think when I look at both the Mets and the Yankees, we have more good than bad to talk about tonight. If you guys want to harp on the negative, we can harp on the negative. I'm not going that way. I just think we are seeing two teams that can be playoff teams. We are seeing two teams that are going to represent this city the right way. We're seeing two teams with star players that are going to be better than they are bad, and they're going to get healthy. Help is on the way. So 888-808-1019. Let's start with the Yankees. Let's start with the Mets. The Mets do take the series, but the winning streak ends. So I did see something about a seat for the Rizzler. If the Mets kept winning, they were going to immortalize the young Rizzler at Citi Field with the seat next to Grimace's seat. Well, that ended today. And the Yankees don't get swept today. But when you look at the standings and when you look at their records, we're all right. We're all right, New York. Keith McPherson on the Fan. This is KM to AM. I am on till 12. We will talk about the Jets and the Giants draft. We will talk about hockey. We'll talk about the Devils. I got to get the Rangers game on in here. Of course, we're going to talk about the New York Knicks coming off of last night. I did a little bit of the conversation. I was the first one to be on the Fan talking about the Knicks. Is it glass half empty or glass half full after you compete with the Celtics but still lose to them? There's plenty to do, plenty to talk about. Join the show. Call up 888-808-1019. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. Still light outside. All right, let's get right into it. Let's get to the phones. 888-808-1019. Talking Mets, talking Yanks. I do see some Knicks fans popping up. We're talking New York sports. It's the Fan in New York. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host. I started with Devin Williams, and I also started with, you know, the Mets' end of their winning streak. And, you know, they won the series, but they weren't able to complete the sweep. So what? It is so early in the season, you're going to forget about all this. You know, like the Yankees were shut out at home against the Blue Jays on opening day last year. Reese Hoskins slid hard into Jeff McNeil. And like nobody even cared. By the end of last year, nobody cared about how the beginning of the season started. We will forget. There will be so many other things. The team will change. They'll get guys back. They'll add guys at the deadline. We will not care. But every day we got to overreact. So let's continue to do some of that overreaction. Moose is in Jamaica on the Fan. Go for it, Moose.
Yeah, what it do, Keith?
Yeah.
You know what it is. So, yeah. Devin Williams. I was listening to the post-game interview with the press, the soundbite from the app or whatever. And my only concern with Devin is not so much him interacting with the press, per se. And it's more or less the press maybe getting on his nerves, even though he answered the questions properly about how he needs to get in rhythm, more repetitions, more game action, more actual sharpness on his stuff so he can locate better. I just hope that playing in New York, it's not so much succeeding or failing, but it's dealing with the press and the noise that may because the intention of the Yankees, I'm pretty sure, is if he has a good season, likes New York is to stay. And the other thing I want to talk about is Ben Rice and how I knew, I mean, I saw him hit his first home run in the big leagues on that July 4th game last season. Not second home run or whatever it was. Couldn't tell if it was his first or second. I don't remember last season too well. But, yeah, I heard a sound off the bat, and that was 20 tons of muscle ago. So, I mean, when Stanton comes back and other pieces come back, I mean, I see him as a trade piece to get an ace. So, because we don't have room for him now, and other prospects can come up like Chancellor Jones and stuff. So your take on that, on what I just said.
Thanks for the call, Moose. Yeah, I don't know exactly which home run it was. I don't know if it was his first or second. He had three home runs in that game against the Red Sox July 4th weekend. Ben Rice has always been a hitter. When we talked about him last year, I was just so surprised at how fast he accelerated from the minors to the show. And he got his confidence last year. He put on some muscle in the offseason. When I was on with John and Susan in spring training, they asked who was I most impressed by. I said Ben Rice. He's hitting the ball hard. He's consistently hitting the ball over 100 miles an hour, and you're seeing that now. And you're also seeing how dialed in and locked in he is. If he gets a pitch to hit, he's driving it. He cranks the ball. I don't know if he's going to be a trade chip. I don't know if he's going to be a trade chip because, I mean, he's DHing, and he can play first base, and he went back to catching a little bit. I just look at him as, why can't he be a bench bat? The Yankees never have a bench bat. Now, are they too left-handed? Yes. But, like, we get to, you know, point late in the season, even early in the season, we're bringing Pablo Lopez off the bench, Peraza off the bench. They never have enough bench bats. So I wouldn't, but I know you got to give to get. And I do believe that they need another starting pitcher in the postseason. I don't think they're going to get Alcantara. They might be able to get another, you know, 1B type of ace. And you got to give to get. And maybe Ben Rice is dealt that way. And if so, it was nice to know you. They got to go all in this year to try and win it. 888-808-1019. Now, going back to what you said about Devin Williams. Devin Williams, I got to meet at the Pinstripe Pride event. He is soft-spoken, mild-mannered. So much so that I didn't think that he even put up a fight about the beard policy. But I think when he was asked about it, he was honest and truthful and transparent. I just couldn't see the guy fighting anything, yelling or whatever. Now, he's got some of that fire off the mound. But just his delivery when he speaks, we're going to try and pull up the post-game audio if anybody hasn't heard it. You know, I watched him talk after the Pittsburgh Pirates series ended and he wasn't able to come through there. And it doesn't matter if he's like, listen, this is what you got to get used to. This is it. This is the top of the top. This is, you know, New York. Like, if he's not used to the media, he will get used to it. And you know how you get used to the media? Go out and perform. Because then they'll sing your praises. So, Nick, can we cue up the audio? We don't have to play the whole thing, but just so if anyone hasn't heard Devin Williams after, you know, blowing it in the ninth inning and then Mark Leiter Jr. having to come in and get the last out. What did he give up, three runs? Like, he's saying he's still figuring things out. Just listen to the question, the line of questions and his delivery and his response.
Still figuring stuff out, you know? Haven't felt like 100% myself up to this point. But, yeah, I would say I'm getting closer for sure.
The guy said, he just told you, I haven't felt like myself. Cody Bellinger wasn't feeling like himself. He ate some bad wings. We'll talk about that tonight. I'll give you my food poisoning story straight out of New York City. These pitchers and these players are creatures of habit. That's why playing three straight day games in freezing temperatures, snow and wind, like, it throws them off. It doesn't feel right to them. It's so early in the year, and I'm telling you, before Manfred is out in 2029, they're going to really consider starting the season probably like around May, Cinco de Mayo weekend or something, because they're going to shorten this thing. They're going to realign. They're going to keep tweaking the game. They're just off of what we've seen this week, the Pittsburgh Pirates had to give out tickets to their fans that showed up because it was 38 degrees. Tommy Pham is in the outfield with a batting glove on his throwing hand. Right? The Mets moved the game up. I heard Evan Roberts wasn't too happy about it, but it worked out. The Mets won. There was enough notice where people were out there. Like, there have been issues with the weather. And we're not even talking about the rain. We're talking about just the cold temps in some of these places. So they're, you know, if they ever were thinking about it, they're definitely thinking about it now. what I'm thinking about with Devin Williams is this guy had his spring training, and it's his first spring training. He had only been with the Brewers. It's his first spring training with the Yankees. It's more media. It's more attention. It's bigger than everything. And he didn't ask to be here. He got traded here. Brian Cashman said he had his eye on him. So Brian Cashman, have your guys work with him and get him right. And me watching him pitch today, I got to go back to my notes and look. But I could just see, you know what? And I was actually listening to the Detroit broadcast, because sometimes I watch on illegal streams and whatnot. It depends where I'm on. If I'm on a MacBook, that's for another day. But I was listening to the Detroit broadcast, and he was missing with his fastball, and he was wasting too many bullets, and he's obviously throwing the fastball to set up the changeup, and guys weren't biting on it. And you can't walk guys. The game is over. Fill up the zone. Throw strikes. So I just think Devin Williams had a break in the start to his season. And even opening day, that's a tough way to start against your former team in the Bronx. Opening day, you struggle. People start booing you right away. It's heavy. Your girl is pregnant. Your firstborn child is on the way. You step out for that, and the Yankees lose to the Diamondbacks the first two games in the series. They blame you for that. And then you come back. You're not in rhythm yet. You come back, and Manfred's man on second beat you. And then against the Detroit Tigers, you don't have your stuff. It's still cold. You're not landing your pitches. You're also not getting some calls. And not to throw Judge under a bus, but he did throw the ball over the cutoff. And it does not matter. We are overanalyzing all of this. Avery's in St. Louis on the Fan. What's up, man?
All I'm going to say is I told you they'd find a way to win today.
Correct.
They weren't coming back 6-6. It wasn't going to happen. And I know that Devin struggled a little bit, and I'm certainly not going to overreact about anything, whether it be a good thing or a bad thing that happened today. But I will say that I was very impressed with Max Fried, and that Devin Williams, he's going to figure it out, like you're saying. It takes a little bit of an adjustment period sometimes. And Yankee fans were always going to complain about every little thing. That's what makes baseball so much fun, right? But this is just the way that it's going to shake out. And it's just the story of the season. Ebbs and flows, as you say. And you got to roll with the punches as they come early. He'll go take the off day, work on his stuff, see his family again, go back to New York. And then he'll have another chance to start again at the stadium to get a normal amount of time to get acclimated in New York instead of having an interruption, albeit a good interruption. He had a child. But without any unprecedented interruptions, and he'll get to settle in more properly.
Yeah, I'm not throwing the guy away. Thanks for the call, Avery. I'm strapped into the roller coaster. I'm down for the ride. I'm not throwing away a guy that could get big outs for us. We just survived Clay Holmes. We had to deal with Clay Holmes setting the blown save record. Give this guy a chance. I'm not throwing him out. And even if he doesn't figure it out, you know you have Luke Weaver, so you can just make the swap. Jonathan Loaisiga is coming back. I'm cool. I'm chilling. I am cool. Gary's in Waterbury on the Fan. What up, man?
I smash Keith after your beef. No relief. I'll step on stage.
The girls scream like I'm Keith.
And you won't be around next year. My rap's too severe. Kicking mad flavor in your hand.
Bump. Bump.
Yeah.
Bump. Bump. Bump.
Yo.
Bump.
And Keith, I need a Tribe intro. You need to get a Tribe rejoin.
Oh, we could do that.
You need to do that. But we always overreact as fans, especially on the Fan. You know we're overreacting to everything. That's what we're about.
Yeah.
And if Williams is shaky on his next time out, I'll give him another strike. If he's shaky, I would think about pulling him. You got to earn your strike in this town.
Yeah, but he's always been a closer. He was rated as MLB Network's number one reliever going into the season.
I understand, but it's what have you done for me lately? And you know, I agree, the season should be shortened, and they should start in May. I am the biggest proponent of starting early May. I hate the baseball in the cold.
Yeah, it's an outdoor game. Everyone doesn't have retractable roofs. It's not meant to be played in freezing temps. Thanks for the call, Gary. 888-808-1019. You can overreact, but that's why we have hosts here that are supposed to pull you back a little bit. We have some hosts here that'll overreact with you. But you got to look at the larger picture. I'm not throwing away a guy that we gave Caleb Durbin and Nestor Cortez away for. Not saying that those guys are, you know, so valuable, but I'm saying when that deal got done, it's like, yes, all right, we've got an actual closer. And I don't mean to disrespect Clay Holmes, because the version of Clay Holmes that we saw yesterday, 10 Ks, like, I was on last night giving Clay Holmes a ton of respect. I was on last night and people were like, oh, well, you know, 10 Ks for his career high. Who cares? He's always been a reliever. I'm like, who cares? He cares. We care. Everybody cares. Now that's the bar, right? When you go on FanDuel to bet the strike props are around 3.5, 4.5. They don't expect guys to strike out 10. Maybe if you're Max Fried, maybe if you're a Tarek Skubal type, Zach Gallen type. But for Clay Holmes to transition into a starter and for him to overcome the single walk, single whatever that, you know, last night or, you know, yesterday, the Mets go down 2-0 and then he locks in. He almost had an immaculate inning. Like, I don't know. I respect what Clay Holmes has done. I know how hard it is to pitch in Major League Baseball. I got a lot of respect for what these guys do. We sit far away from it and act like it's so easy to throw with velocity, to throw in the zone, also with the umpires and their shaky zones against the best hitters in the world. Like, I'm willing to give guys time. I'm willing to give guys time. Jonathan is in Los Angeles, back on the Fan in New York. What's up, man?
My guy, Keith, what's good, bro? Look, man, I'm not a Yankee fan that boos the player whenever they do bad or I want him out. He's part of our team for this year, and I really hope Devin Williams does the best, and I hope he gets his rhythm back. The thing is, Yankee fans, that the reason we acting like this, bro, on opening day, he loaded the bases up. He was probably a hit away of blowing that game, okay? On Sunday, I mean, it wasn't his fault. It was, that running on second. But at the end of the day, he just gave up the win. But all right, forget Sunday. And today, he almost blew it. He almost literally blew it. Probably if Aaron Boone would have kept him in, that could have been 3 blown saves already. Look, I really hope he gets his stuff back. But I mean, we're just saying, you know, what about you just put Luke Weaver as a closing role and him as a settlement? And then when he gets his stuff back, we're going to notice in the 8th inning, we shift them back to closer. But I'm not going to boo him. We're not, oh, we want him out. That's it. He sucks. No, I'm not that fan that wishes the worst for a player like that. As a matter of fact, you know, other players, even like back in Chris Carter when he was out, like, man, I really hope this guy hits a home run. Not like other fans booing. But I think that's our problem right now, man, because we're getting a little bit of Clay Holmes vibes. You feel me, bro? But one more thing, Keith. I know it's out the blue. It's a different subject. But how far you think the Lakers are going? Luka's about to play in Dallas. It's about to get crazy.
I know. I got it on right now. It's funny you say I'm looking at Luka right now.
bro, one last thing, bro. My guy, they're on the way. We're on the road. What's up?
Yo, what up, Bash? Listen, I mean, I was tight last night because I had a parlay with Bron and with Luka, and they threw Luka out on some nonsense. Like, these umps, not even umps, these refs. They have a God complex. Supposedly, Luka was talking to a fan, and the ref thought he was talking to him. You can't do that. I think Luka's coming back tonight. Look at him. He's crying right now. He's tearing up right now. He's about to be a demon. He's about to go crazy. Ooh. This is going to be good. I don't know how far the Lakers could go, but they'll go as far as this man can take them, and you know what he's like in the playoffs. He's fiery right now. Look at his eyes, bro. He's possessed.
Oh, man. I'm in the road, so I can't see it. I'm listening to you, but I'll check out the highlights when I get home, bro. But Vanderbilt came out saying it was something personal with Luke and the referee. But, you know, it is what it is. Keith, I'm going to let you go, bro, but I'm going to listen to the rest of the show, my guy. Peace, my guy. Great show, as always.
Yo, Jonathan, Sebastian, appreciate you guys. If you guys saw opening day, Judge went to Section 103 and gave a young kid a ball. That's Jonathan and his son, Sebastian. They've been calling my show for a while now. They flew from Los Angeles for opening day. His son got interviewed, and it's funny. There's a video. They ask his son to name an obscure Yankee, and he goes, Judgy. Like, Judgy's not an obscure Yankee. But then it played well because later in the stadium, Judge gives him the ball. Okay, a couple things. I'm going to speak on what he said about Devin Williams. But right now, like, Luka Doncic is overcome with emotion. This could be a flop, or this could be a movie right now. If you're into the NBA, if you're into the basketball, then you already know what's about to happen. And it just kind of makes me feel bad for the guy, right? As we talk about trades, and this is a great way for me to transition back into Devin Williams, Luka didn't ask to be a Laker. In the middle of the night, they traded him away. Nico was on something and just, you know, traded away a franchise player who bought a house out there, a big crib, and wanted to be there. And now his life is literally flipped upside down. He's a Laker and he's a hooper his whole life. The kid went pro at 16. All he knows is basketball. He's overcome with emotion. I hope we get to watch him absolutely kill the Mavs tonight. I don't even know about Anthony Davis. Who cares what Anthony Data Davis looks like? The NBA sells these type of narratives. TNT, more drama, right? They sell these storylines. And this is worth watching tonight. Now, when I talk about being traded and Devin Williams being traded here, some of the Mets fans that troll me online were saying that Devin Williams is broken because Pete Alonso broke him. Devin Williams will never be the same after the way last season ended with Pete Alonso taking him deep and that ending the Milwaukee Brewers season and his time as a Milwaukee Brewer. Little did Devin Williams know that Brian Cashman was lurking and he would be reborn. He's still working on being reborn. He's still working on the transition. This is a free agent year. Give him some grace. Now, I won't say give him the grace that you gave Juan Soto because you didn't have to give Juan Soto grace. Like, grace, that was glaze. That was super glaze from the first time he stepped into the batting box in spring training. And did it work? It didn't work. But don't quit on Devin Williams. Now, I understand what Jonathan was saying. Keith, he hasn't been good, right? He hasn't lived up to the hype at all. To be MLB Network's number one reliever, to have a nickname like the Airbender, to be so dominant at the position and look now so feeble, he has not lived up to the hype. But I don't think that's how the story ends. 888-808-1019. So I understand you being critical of him. I don't understand you quitting on him. I don't understand you being ready to put Luke Weaver there right away. Luke Weaver is Luke Weaver. Luke Weaver became. Luke Weaver is ready when they need to call on him. But why would you move? If Devin Williams is struggling right now, why would you move him off the closer spot, just take that job away from him, and put Luke Weaver there? And then what if he struggles as an 8-9 guy? You completely lose the guy. No, you got to build his confidence up. It's going to get warmer. He's going to get in the lab. He's going to get into a rhythm. Life is changing for him. He's got a days-old baby. He's been away from his girl and his baby. He's going to get back. And, like, this guy is a professional. This guy's in a contract year. Do I know if he's going to be a Yankee, if he's going to re-sign with the Yankees? I don't. And do I also think that he's the sole reason that the Yankees changed the beard policy? I don't. So I said, this is not about beards. I know everybody's just, that's just so easy. That's a low-hanging fruit. Oh, they changed the beard policy for this bum. No, they changed the beard policy because they needed to change the beard policy. It's just going to be forever remembered as Devin Williams because he's the one that sent shockwaves around the league. Everybody that watches baseball knows who he is. So when you saw him shaved for the first time in 7 years with the Yankees, it's like, oh, what happened to him? They zapped his aura. 888-808-1019. Steve is in Queens on the Fan. Go for it, Steve.
Yo, Keith. Hey. What's going on?
You know, hosting, doing the thing.
Yeah. Listen. I want to get involved with the Knicks and the Mets. First, I want to do the Mets. This guy's Steve Cole, the owner of the Mets, should put a dome on that stadium. And the reason why I say that is that on the winter months, there's so many events that come in there, he's going to make that money back. A retractable dome opens up, closes up, you know? And even like in April, they'll get something like 30,000 people in there just for a day game. A day game with a close stadium.
If anybody could do it, he could do it. He's already getting the green light to build up his casino and do all that type of stuff, but it'll take some time.
That's what I'm saying. Now, as far as the other part concerned, bring back Jose Iglesias and get rid of this guy, Beatty, because I love OMG. You know what I'm saying?
It is missing, though, because when they hit home runs, they're posing for the camera, and you don't see that OMG sign. And you know what? I saw him. He's playing left field for the Padres. He's a utility guy for real for the Padres. He's playing wherever they ask him to play.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You better get him on a trade. Trade him with something. Get him back. And for the Knicks concern, I didn't like that game last night. They should have fouled that guy with 10 seconds ago. I'm sorry. If that was James Harden out there with Carmelo Anthony, he told the ref, I'm fouling Carmelo. The ball came into Carmelo. He fouled him, and Carmelo shot the ball, and it went in. And you know what the referee said? No, he fouled you first. And who won the game? Harden and then won the game. I don't know what the assistant coaches on the Knicks are thinking. They should be all up at this.
They were frozen. They were frozen in time, paralyzed in the moment.
I don't care. If you got to take this and push him on the bench, stand back, foul that guy. That's what you
got to
do.
My thing last night, I was on. I'm like, you just saw Tatum miss a free throw the last time he was at the line. I'm fouling his ass.
Thank you.
You got to foul him. You can't let him kill you like that.
What is wrong with this team? What are they thinking? Who's in charge? That's what I'm
Yeah, it's just it's a garden. Something about the garden. The air
in
there is different.
And
in them, yeah, in them crunch time moments.
They should be all up to zero.
Thanks for the call, Steve. 888-808-1019. Yeah, I think the Knicks are just in an interesting situation. They've changed the team so much over the last 4 years. They've been successful back-to-back 50-win seasons. The coach deserves a ton of credit for the success, but he's also getting a ton of blame for the shortcomings. And because Knicks fans had suffered for so long, because Knicks fans had nothing for so long, they think this is it. This is the time. It has to happen now. And I think there are some Knicks fans that lack forward vision to understand that it's Rome literally wasn't built in a day, in a season, in 4 years of Jalen Brunson or whatever. Like, not even, you know. This started with Julius Randle. We here. But I'm looking at this Knicks season as if they are another second round out, something has to change. And I don't think it would be the right thing to do to fire the coach. But as you're looking at this NBA where the Memphis Grizzlies are a top team in the West, they fire Taylor Jenkins. Just yesterday, Mike Malone, the head coach of the Nuggets, who just won it a couple years back, he's shown the door and the GM is out. And you're hearing all these different things about the players not agreeing with him and those two not speaking. And Mike Malone is from Queens. Put two and two together. You know what I'm saying? And Law of the Garden, St. John's is done. The Rangers are done. The city is counting on the New York Knicks. And it just seems inevitable that they are going to run into the Celtics again. And the Celtics can beat you in multiple different ways. Pick your poison. I was saying last night, it's not even pick your poison. You don't get to pick. They can beat you without Porzingis. They can beat you without Al Horford. They can beat you without Drew Holiday. They can beat you with those guys. They can beat you without Jaylen Brown. Can they beat the Knicks without Tatum? I know when Tatum went down a couple weeks ago, some people were like, hold on, injury. No, the Celtics are the reigning champs, and all roads go through them. And I know the Knicks played tougher with them yesterday, but they still lost. They still found a way to lose. They failed in overtime. And you're kicking yourself about things like Josh Hart taking the last shot or Mikal Bridges not being able to catch the damn ball. You gave up 5 first-round picks for that dude. He has not been what you thought. You thought he was the last Infinity Stone. You thought he was the last piece. Maybe he was to the team that had Ihart, Dante DiVincenzo, and Julius Randle, but you weren't able to bring Ihart back. And, you know, this is a chess game. You lose Ihart, you need a big. Mitch isn't ready to go. And shout out to Mitchell Robinson. He looked good last night. But Mitch isn't ready to go, so you need a big. You make a trade for Karl-Anthony Towns. You got to give to get. You give Julius Randle up. You give Dante DiVincenzo up. It changes the complexion of your team. Randle had to go. Randle had beef with the fact that his jersey wasn't up in the team store and Mikal Bridges was before he even stepped foot on the floor. But losing Delaware Jordan, Dante DiVincenzo, you lost some grit, some toughness. A guy that last night came off the bench and dropped 24. That could be helping right now. I thought the whole thing was to get the Villanova Wildcats champion, you know, those championship teams, like those guys that played for Jay Wright and won championships, get that nucleus together, right? That was your way to shortcut to chemistry. It takes about 4 or 5 years to build that chemistry with a team. Look at the Celtics. Not that long ago, I was in Brooklyn watching the Nets bust their ass in the playoffs. And look what they've become. 888-808-1019. We can talk Knicks. We can talk Yanks. We can talk Mets. Abraham in Woodmere, you got it. You're on the Fan.
So Keith, I've already called twice. Love your show. So I played MLB The Show 25, and I experimented with a few lineups, and I figured what might be a good roster for the actual lineup for the actual Yankees.
Okay.
You want to hear it or not?
Yes, lay it on me.
Jason Dominguez, Cody Bellinger, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton.
Wait. Slow down. So you're leading off?
Dominguez.
Playing left field?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cody Bellinger in center.
Okay.
Aaron Judge in right. Well, the show doesn't update the injuries from before the season, so Stanton's DHing. Paul Goldschmidt at first. Batting sixth at catcher Austin Wells or Alex Jackson. Seventh batting in shortstop is Volpe. Eighth at third is Cabrera. And batting ninth is Jazz.
He probably should bat ninth. I need Ben Rice in there. Alex Jackson is not even with the club, so that'd be J.C. Ascara. Where'd you have Wells?
Six.
You didn't have Wells. You had Alex Jackson or Wells, right? You said either or?
Alex Jackson. So Wells is my starting catcher.
Yeah, see, those video games are simulations. Those are, computers putting stuff together. And I know the Yankees rely on computers, but they're relying on Aaron Boone. And so far, Aaron Boone has put together some lineups that work.
Yeah.
I'm not leading off Dominguez. He's been good, but he's been good in the bottom of the order. I kind of like what we have with Ben Rice, with Goldie, not even Wells. Goldie has been great. Stanton isn't back yet, but I cannot wait for Stanton to come back because he's just going to add another element, another threat, a right-handed bat that is desperately needed in this lineup. The Yankees have already put out, four or five different lineups this year, more, with Bellinger being down and, righty-lefty, depending on who they're facing. I'm fine with the lineup, but thanks for sharing your MLB The Show lineup. You got anything else, Abraham, or what are you thinking about the Yankees pitching?
Pitching? Well, lucky for me, Garrett Cole stole my lineup in my starting rotation.
Thanks for the call. It's nice to live in that fantasy world. Boy, would I love to see Garrett Cole on the mound Friday night in the Bronx. How good would that feel? Cole world. Cole life. Cole world, no blanket. We're going back home. Friday night in the boogie down Bronx. Cole towing the slab. Nope. It's going to be a while. The Yankees are operating right now, and Clark Schmidt is on his way back. Bless it. Luis Gil. We've heard some rumors about Luis Gil. Bless it. But the fact that the Yankees right now, like if you would have told me after the World Series, Will Warren, who's got single-digit starts, he's in the rotation. Marcus Stroman, who was shut down last year, did not throw a pitch in October. He's in the rotation. Carlos Cookie Carrasco is giving up dingers in Detroit. Like, he's in the rotation. I didn't even know he was going to be in camp. I'd be like, how did we get here? Rodon is Rodon. Rodon to me is it hasn't changed. But, man, I'm so glad that, and I'm not, and I've never said this on The Fan, you sign Juan Soto. If you could sign Juan Soto, Juan Soto is one of the best players in the game. Wanted Juan Soto. 100% thought Juan Soto wanted to be a Yankee after the year that he had. No, Juan Soto wanted the money, and he got it. But I'm very thankful that the Yankees' pivot was to go get who they thought was the best pitcher on the market that they could buy and keep that guy away from the Red Sox, keep that guy away from the Blue Jays. That guy was masterful today, Max Fried. That guy took the ball, and when I talk about vibes and energy, what you need, yo, we're about to get swept, bro. We're trying to have a happy flight. Max Fried is a world champion. He's a winner. He said, I got it. Watch this. And I don't care how many people are actually in the ballpark to watch this. I'm going to hold it down, and he did. Good to have him. Chris is in Queens before we go to break. You got it, Chris.
Oh, how you doing, man? Thanks for having me, Keith.
No problem.
I just want to talk about basically I would switch Mr. Arroz with Goldie. But I'd keep that even with righties and lefties. I think that he's raking.
Yeah, I don't mind either one. Ben Rice has been good, but I like Goldie. Goldie had how many hits in this series? He had two today, three the other day. I gotta pull up the other box score. Like these are surprise options. We were talking about who's going to lead off. Dominguez, Jazz, Volpe, Wells was the opening day leadoff. You rather see Goldie as the leadoff, and he will lead off sometimes. Yeah. But I don't mind Ben Rice there either, depending on if it's righty or lefty who we're facing.
He just hits bombs, though. That's the only problem. Like, he's a bomb or a miss. You know, I think Goldie just gets people on base. He has a good eye. I think it'd just be better for the lineup. But
against Tarek Skubal, the other day, we wasted the singles from Goldie and from Rice, right? Like, I think Rice has the ability to hit for power, but he also has the ability to hit some singles. He just put bat to ball, rip some doubles as well. These are good problems to have. We went from not knowing who was going to be the leadoff hitter to like, okay, now Goldie, Wells, Rice. Let's see.
Very true. And then the other thing I want to say is I know Yankees, we always see doom and gloom, but when we get Hill and the other guy back, it's going to get a lot better. Like, the lineup is stacked, even without Cole in the lineup, I think.
Yeah, like Trent Grisham was going off for a couple games. Cabrera had a two-hit game today and played well in Pittsburgh. This team has enough bats, torpedo bats. You know, Jazz is stinking up the place, but he'll come back around. Judge is leading the league in homers and RBI. They're going to be fine. Once this pitching gets together too, and the bullpen as well, right, not relying on Adam Ottavino or Ryan Yarbrough, like, they're going to be good. Thanks for the call, Chris. 888-808-1019. 1 hour down, 4 hours to go. When we come back, I will dip into the Mets conversation a little bit more. We just hit Yankees, Devin Williams, the lineup, a bunch of different things. Call up and join the show. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back after this.